G'day, I'm Pastor Matt Teeley, and this is part four in a series exploring the Lord's Prayer. We are learning the basics of prayer, basic teaching. And the old word for basic teaching is catechism. So I want to start each week by going back to the year 1529 and the basic teaching of the Christian faith, Martin Luther's Small Catechism. So you might like to read it off the screen or say it out loud to get it in your head. We'll do it the old way. Ready? Your will be done on earth as in heaven. What does this mean? The good and gracious will of God will be done even without our prayer, but we pray in this petition that it may be done among us also. Let's have some fun. You know, the world would be a better place if everyone just did things my way. The world would be a better place if everyone could just understand what I understand. I mean, the world would be a better place if people just did what I do, especially politicians. You know, the world would be a far better place if the politicians would just do what I think. Come to think of it, the world would be a better place if I was in control. Maybe the world would be a better place if God listened and did things my way too. Have you ever thought that way? Because I think at some point every human being does. It's a part of being human to deep down want people to think your way. So I want to start with a bit of fun, a bit of discussion or reflection, and I've got a question for you. Imagine you wake up tomorrow and now everyone thinks just like you. One, what is now missing from the world? Two, what could possibly go wrong? So in a moment, I'll just get you to pause and talk or think about this, but just a note, this is not some sort of general question. I'm not asking you to think about what would a world be like without diversity. I'm actually asking you to reflect on yourself. I'm asking you to maybe attempt humility and maturity and grow and think about specifically what would the world miss if everyone did things or thought like you. Okay, have some fun with that for a moment. Now, if you've ever wished that everyone understood what you understand and that everyone thought like you, then you really need the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer grows us beyond ourselves. It shows us a path, the path to true joy, because true joy is not everything going your way. The Lord's Prayer teaches us joy because it teaches us how to flow with God's will, and it teaches us the art of healthy surrender. Let's talk about healthy surrender. At the moment in Australia, there is a lot of important focus on abuse of women. And this is important, and the discussion needs to be had. Abusers thrive on authority. They thrive on the thought that other people must submit or surrender to them. Abusers want people to surrender to their will. And we are rightly aware of this, and we need to talk about consent and choice in our country. It's unsafe to surrender your will to someone who demands your submission. It is unsafe to surrender or submit to someone who won't treat you as an equal. It's unsafe to surrender your choices to someone who doesn't give you a choice. It is unsafe to surrender yourself to evil. So this word surrender or submit gets sometimes ignored completely. But there is an art of healthy surrender. Healthy surrender is when we say, let's do it your way, or we think, let's do it your way. It's when we surrender to the right person at the right time. And it's part of the deepest joys of life. There is a great joy in rightly saying, let's do it your way. At St. Luke's Church, we just had a massive art festival. They cleared out the entire church and turned it into an art exhibition for our disability service, Graceville. And it was amazing. The team that ran this was huge. And one of the members of that team was from our church. Her name was Karina. And Karina got to sit on a team for 6 months which included social workers and disability workers, psychologists, a whole bunch of people that all thought very different things with different ways of life, and definitely people that didn't share her faith. And so last Sunday, I asked Karina, did everything on that team go your way? And she said, straight up, no, it went better than my way. She's good at teamwork. See, on a team, no one can get everything their way. There might be some compromise where we find a third way, but really healthy teamwork often requires the art of healthy surrender because we have to learn to say, let's do it your way. We have to be able to give in to someone else's idea. There's something absolutely beautiful about the art of saying, I'll do it your way. And this is essential in relationships. The Bible says to both men and women, submit to each other out of reverence for Christ. In a healthy relationship, we surrender to each other, each to the other at the right time, both men and women at the right time in the right way. The vision of the New Testament of relationships in Jesus Christ is built on this idea of healthy mutual surrender. I love going on a road trip, and so does my wife. I want to drive the long, winding roads. I want to take the dirt roads. I want to get off the beaten track. I want to get the car muddy. I want to go through deep water, and I want to get that car airborne. But this stresses my wife, Karen. And I know that honoring her means that I sometimes surrender to her will. And so on our road trips, we drive the safe, calm way on bitumen. Well, most of the time. Healthy marriage requires the surrender of our wills by each of us mutually to the other. There's something beautiful about saying, let's do it your way. Friendship is the same. Do you know a friend who always insists on everything happening their way? I bet that's a hard friendship. Healthy friendship requires healthy mutual surrender, each of us to the other at the right time. And so we learn to say in love, let's do it your way. And this idea is at the absolute heart of the Lord's Prayer, because the Lord's Prayer teaches us the art of healthy surrender. In the Lord's Prayer, we pray the most healthy thing we could, because we say to God, not my way, but yours, your will be done. Healthy prayer is not about getting God on board with our ideas. Prayer aligns us to God's will. Now hear that again, because it's really important. Prayer aligns us to God's will. Now my heart is deeply flawed because it's human. And Christians don't apologize for calling the human heart sinful. I know that's a big word, but when we say our hearts are sinful, we simply mean they are curved in on themselves. That we desire things to go our way, that we want the world to serve us. We want everything how we want it. And if you can't see a bit of that in your heart, well then dig deeper, because it's there in every human heart. And we foolishly think that freedom means everything happening our way. We foolishly think that we will find happiness if we get all our choices our way. But it's not true. True freedom and true joy actually come from healthy connection. They are found in healthy relationships. True joy comes not by being your own boss, but by being healthily connected in community, and most importantly, with God. When we pray, your will be done, we're engaging in the art of healthy surrender in the right way, at the right time. And it brings joy. Now, just a note, when we pray your will be done, we are not saying, oh God, here's what I want, but just in case I'm wrong, your will. It's not some sort of escape clause. It's not some sort of a, well, just in case I got it wrong. kind of thing to say. No, no. When we say your will be done, we are surrendering our will to God. We are saying, God, I give up on my earthly way and I commit to your heavenly way. I welcome your way of forgiveness. Even though I want revenge, I welcome your way of forgiveness. I welcome your way of peace, even though I want to win. I welcome that. I welcome your way of love and grace. That's what we are saying. When we say, your will be done, we are letting go of our ego. We're letting go of our control and our self-focus. And that is a profound thing. You know, when our church wants to discover a new vision, a new mission, firstly, we need to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. We need to sit first with openness before God, before we come up with any plans, to just say, God, your kingdom come, your will be done, and sit with that and see what happens. I'll finish with a final thought about flags. Imagine that at the start of every day, you wave a flag of intentions. Often I start the day by waving, I think, something like the scarlet flag. This just fits my personality. I start the day full of energy for my plans. I start the day with a bit of passion for how to change the world. But the other side of the scarlet flag is maybe anger. Maybe we start the day seeing how the world is not as it should be and desiring change. And sometimes we start with a bit of a fire for action and change. And that's not all bad. That can be used for good. But what if we started differently? Sometimes we might start the day with a blue flag, you know, beyond blue, feeling a bit blue, a bit sad. We start the day just a bit defeated. We see the problems. We see the news and it just gets us down and we know that things could be better, but we don't know how to get there. But what if we started with a different flag? Sometimes I start the day with the grey flag. For me, the grey flag is worry. It's anxiety. It's seeing all the problems and letting them just roll around and around and around until all the colour and all the joy is gone out of life and everything's just kind of grey. Sometimes we start the day just anxious and we fly that flag. But what if we started differently? Sometimes we start the day, I do, I start the day with a brown flag. I mean like the toilet. I start the day with the flag of manure, feeling guilty and ashamed, looking back at the past and being weighed down by what I've done wrong. But what if we started differently? Some of us start the day with a flag of our own emblem. On church on Sunday, I had a flag that said the United States of me. Me, 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 me. Some of us start the day with a flag with our own emblem, our own making, our own design, our own plans. But what if we started the day by waving before God the white flag? What if we just put down all our own desires and all our own energy? What if we started by surrendering our own ideas? What if we started by just being open and saying, I'm not going to fly all those flags, God. Your will be done. What if you looked up at God and just started the day by waving the white flag? You know, the white flag is widely used for surrender. It's been used all over the world. The ancient Romans, medieval Europeans, the ancient Chinese, throughout much of history, the white flag has just meant surrender. And it can be anything white. It could be a set of white underpants. It could be a white rag. The main idea is that it is blank. It's blank of color, it's blank of emblem, and it's blank of intention. It's got no pride. It simply says, here's a blank page, and you can draw on it. The white flag surrenders our ego. It gives up on our agenda. The white flag says, we surrender to your will. So what if at the start of the day, instead of saying, God, help me with this. God, sort out that. Instead of starting with our own agendas, instead of telling God what I want, you quietly just said, I surrender. Let's do it your way. Your will be done. And then we're open. What if we started the day by waving the white flag of surrender before God and just saying, your will be done. We cannot begin to imagine what could be. Amen.